Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Which WWE superstar makes his return on SmackDown?
A TLC match is announced. And how much will WrestleMania cost you this year? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So WrestleMania 29 is going to cost you $60 for standard def and $70 for high definition. Aaron, are they gouging here?
Just a little. I think, you know, with the success that they had last year, they're going to try to duplicate that in any way, shape, or form, and they're hoping to get a few extra dollars out of it. Now, my question to you is, are you going to pay the 70?
Well, that's the best part. See, there is going to be four of us approximately watching the show, so it's going to be split up around between four people. And yes, we will spring the extra money you get the HD this year.
That's not bad. And, you know, $70 between four people, you know, you're talking $18 or so a pop, right?
Well, and when you think about it, you know, because we do more than just the WrestleMania. We usually get food as well. And I'm assuming with pizza that we're going to be getting, I think it's going to end up costing a total in pizza and pop about $100 for the four of us. Wait, is it four? Yeah, four of us. You split that up, it's $25 a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad for 5 hours of wrestling because, of course, the pregame starts at 5 o'clock this time. Five o'clock Central Standard Time. And then the show starts at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, if you live on the West Coast, which we know someone who does, Aaron, you are in luck because the show still gets done at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still OK, unlike the people who have to work the following day.
Yeah. Now, and that's actually one of the things I do like about being on the West Coast is sporting events, sports entertainment events. But I still think that $70 is gouging. And I know that most people are not surprised by this. But it's just that when you think about the entertainment value that you're getting out of it, a family of four could go see a movie and probably get popcorn and pop and be entertained. And it would probably cost a little bit less than this, you know? So I'm a little surprised that they're charging this much and expecting, you know, people to pay it. But I want to move on, though, to something that I thought was very interesting this week, is that China claimed to have spoke with Vince, and she claims that they're on good terms. Now, this is a very recent, turn of events, because I don't know if you've seen, but China was recently in one of the best movies I've seen all year, which was Queen of the Ring. And, you know, she just really fought her way to the top of that mountain. And, you know, they parodied Vince in there. They parodied Steph. You know, they did all this stuff. And now she claims they're on good terms. Are you buying this?
I think it's because of the scene that she had in that movie with Vince and Stephanie. That's what I think. Oh, that's so wrong. Anyways, no, I think it's about forgiveness. It's about time. You know, she's decided that she's not going to do the pornography industry anymore. She's doing her last film. It's something to do with like She-Hulk or something like that. That's going to be the last one. And then she's actually talking about, believe it or not, going over to China and teaching English of all things. Can you believe she would go over to China and teach English to kids?
Well, I actually don't like this idea. Because I don't want the Chinese people to think that all our women look like her. That's the thing that really scares me, all right? That really scares me. But I don't think that this is true. I really don't think that this is true. You know, maybe they did speak. I don't think that they'd be on good terms. Vince can hold a little bit of a grudge. And if you have somebody who is currently acting in pornographic films, do you really want them in the Hall of Fame? Do you really want them to be on your show? TNA got rid of her because she was in porn, you know? So what's that say? You know, what's that say?
Well, TNA also said they wouldn't rip up fans' signs, but they've been doing that the last few shows.
Well, Andy, so Kelly Kelly and Maurice have been holding out on money, and what else?
This is the big one, and this is, I'm finally, you know, I got to give a handout to some of the divas. They're using their heads opposed to their bodies. They want to use their ring names outside of the ring, which actually helps both of them out, especially if they sign, like, we'll say a 4-year deal with the WWE. And then afterwards, they are allowed to use the likeness of that. That is a big deal. A huge deal. I mean, because you have Kelly Kelly. That's not even a real name. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure what it is. And same thing with Maurice. That's not their names, but hey, former WWE diva Maurice sounds better than former diva, at one point known as Maurice, and then the person's name. It'd be nice to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it makes sense. Although Kelly Kelly, her name is was a Barbara Jean Blank. So it's obviously for her, you know, it's completely different. Maurice, though, that's actually her name. So that one, I kind of wonder what exactly she is arguing for. I wonder if it's something having to do with maybe her likeness, or even using pictures from when she was in WWE. But I don't know. I guess, you know, maybe we'll find out more about that a little later. Now, Andy, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is going to give the opening speech at WrestleMania. What do you think about this?
Don't care. It's just Chris Christie. Could care less. The fact that you know, they actually got, you know, like the governor to come out of New Jersey, which I find kind of funny still. They got him to come out and do a speech, you know, is a big deal. In all seriousness, to that area, because he's the governor. And I'm pretty sure he's just a wrestling fan, and someone's like, Daddy, Daddy, or Uncle, can you do something so I can get free WrestleMania tickets? Okay.
Well, and he's probably trying to appeal to a large audience. You know, there's always the possibility he might run for president in the next few years. So, you know, he might be trying to win some votes in that way. But anyway, the other big news of the week, Andy, is that Jerry Lynn officially retired. What do you think?
I'm happy about this. And Observer did a good amount of information on this. And one thing that was said was that he is retiring. It's not one of those things where Terry Funk comes out of retirement, you know, once a year or twice a year, depending on what, you know, what's going on. He is done. He wants to train people. Congratulations to Jerry Lynn. The only thing that's really weird is that he already taped one match that's going to be airing on one of the Friday night pay-per-views that TNA puts out. So I'm wondering what angle they're going to do with this since he announced that he's retiring. Or maybe they'll say, I don't know what they're going to do. They have, you know, plenty of time to screw this up anyways.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, he's done, and he was a very good wrestler. I mean, he had some great matches with RVD, and he was, of course, the ECW champion, the WWF light heavyweight champion as well. Yeah, so I got to tell you something real quick, Aaron. On this date, actually, this is actually kind of old, but on March 26, 2001, something happened. WCW closed. We had Ric Flair's emotional farewell speech. We had Scott Steiner versus Booker T, title versus title, which Booker T ended up being the World Heavyweight Champion and U.S. Champion at the same time.
The WCW Heavyweight Champion.
I'm sorry, yes, the WCW Heavyweight Champion, World Heavyweight Champion. Then we had Shane Helms, Sugar Shane Helms, versus Chavo Guerrero for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship, when probably one of their better matches, of course, him winning with a vertebraker. And then we had Vince McMahon fires Jeff Jarrett. Now, I don't remember him actually firing Jeff Jarrett.
I don't remember this either. This was one of those things that, you may not remember at the time. And, you know, I was 18, so it's not like I shouldn't have known. But, you know, what he did was he fired. He said, you know, you are double G, double O, double N, double E gone, or something along those lines, right?
Yes, and, yeah, I remember.
He didn't say Jeff Jarrett in particular, but he did fire Jeff Jarrett. And one of the things that the reason why is because Jeff Jarrett, at one point in time when he was with WWF, he was wrestling without a contract, and he had the IC title, and he basically extorted Vince. He said, look, if you want me to wrestle this and you want the title back, then you're going to give me X amount of money. And Vince reluctantly agreed.
I remember the situation. Yes, what happened was his contract expired on It was the Saturday before the pay-per-view. So he had the opportunity to basically walk away with the title because he was scheduled to do a program with China, and for some reason they forgot that his contract ran out on that Saturday. So he told Vince that he would drop the title to China only if he got paid $100,000, which he did. And then the following night, he came out with his guitar on WCW Nitro. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Nitro, I'm sorry. So, but yeah, I thought that was really interesting. You know, it's been 12 years now. Really yeah. interesting. So let's move on to WWE program this week. So let's talk some Fandango.
Oh, you didn't say it correctly. You have to breathe it in, Andy. So, Andy, Fandango.
Fandango?
Fandango, the place you get movie tickets from. I want to ask you, what did you think of him initially, and what do you think of him now?
Could care less. I thought the idea at first was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. And then they teased it, and then it went away. It's like, come on. You know, if you're going to go through with some promos, you need to continue with it. But they didn't. I thought they blew it, in all seriousness. I really, really thought they blew it. But
well, I actually disagree with you. And here's why. First of all, Fandango. And maybe it's just because he reminds me of this. He reminds me of the bullfighter, the Spanish bullfighter from Punch-Out. Do you remember him? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
now,
I know
right?
who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, he kind of looks a little like Adam Sandler. I don't know why. He reminds me of him, though. I see that whenever I see him. I really did not care for him that much. You know, he did the same thing every week. Oh, you didn't say my name right, so I'm not going to wrestle. And then the thing with Jericho started. And this past week on Raw, he comes out, and the people, I think, were chanting, "You can't wrestle," or something like that. Jericho comes out there and just starts beating the crap out of him. And the crowd went crazy. I think that was the craziest that they were the entire night. It was a huge pop, and I was actually into it. That's the weird thing. I was like, yeah, get him. You know, he was getting his revenge on him, and I was really into it, and I was really happy that they had this you know, thing kind of happen. And you thought that, oh, they're gonna have their match now, and it's like, nope, not gonna have it now. Rumors they're gonna wrestle at WrestleMania. It'll be interesting. I can't wait to hear the predictions when we do our prediction show next week. But Andy, speaking of Jericho, I want to move into this. Do you remember when him and Ziggler, when Jericho came back, him and Ziggler were feuding? Do you remember that whole thing?
I remember when Johnny Curtis was a real wrestler.
So Jericho and Ziggler were having a feud where Ziggler pinned Jericho. Jericho got kicked out of the company last year. And then Jericho comes back. Him and Ziggler tag team. And, of course, it's one of those like, oh, it's obviously not going to work, right? And so Jericho, you know, is just, you know, toying with him pretty much. And you thought that this feud was going to go somewhere. I thought it would be a WrestleMania match. You know, I think a lot of people did. Do you remember them wrestling on Raw this past week and Jericho wins and that's the end of the feud?
Yeah, what's going on with this? It's over with? That's it? He tapped and, by the way, give him credit. Jericho put the knee down, but not on the shoulder, but he put it by the side of his in front of the shoulder. Knee down, which I was very happy about.
I like mini feuds. I think that they're amazing. Or even having one feud going and one feud like starting. And so that way it can, you know, one feud is going right now, but you have this secondary feud that's, you know, about ready to start after that one ends. You know, that's what's going to happen. I feel like they dropped the ball on this, though. I feel like you're not giving Ziggler any credit. And if anything else, you're actually hurting Ziggler. What they should have done, I'm writing this, Ziggler beats Jericho by Fandango interfering. That's all you got to do. And then it makes Ziggler look better and makes you hate Fandango more. And you really want Jericho then to win at WrestleMania. And I think that they made a big mistake. I really do.
I disagree because I see what's going to happen here. And this is the only way that this is not a mistake. He gets buried. Team Hell No is going to win. We already know that. Team Hell No is definitely going to win.
Well, but we'll talk about that next.
But the thing is, what if he loses and loses and loses and then wins the World Heavyweight Championship?
Well, then he's going to not look very credible, is he?
Correct. But you know what the thing is? Everyone loves a swerve, right? This would be a big swerve. It's like when DDP won the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. It was a swerve. I would have never guessed that he was had even, any chance whatsoever. In a way, they're kind of doing the same thing with Ziggler, because you don't know what he's going to cash in. And every time there's a match with Del Rio, everyone looks right for the entrance ramp. What if they don't look this time?
Yeah.
What if Swagger wins, Del Rio goes nuts and quote unquote breaks Swagger's arm, and then Ziggler comes out and cashes it in.
That's a bad idea, and we'll talk about that at a WrestleMania special. I can't wait to hear your picks, because I have a feeling of what they will be, but we'll talk about it.
Tell you
it
what, then. Why don't you write down your picks, and then we'll see how many of those
so, Andy,
you got right.
No, we don't write them down, because I want to be genuinely surprised when you tell me that Rock's going to win. So Miz versus Wade is set for WrestleMania, Andy. It's going to be big. This is going to be, like mid-card, right? This is going to be probably in the middle.
I'd say it's probably the fifth match. You don't want to have it later on, to show up the other matches.
No, I bet it's the pre-show. This is a pre-show, no. Andy. This is the pre-show.
This will not be the pre-show. I will tell you the truth. I think AJ versus Caitlyn will be on the pre-show. I think there will be a battle royale on the pre-show. And then I think Zack Ryder will be in some match in the pre-show. And that's it. And by the way, no build-up to Zack Ryder. No build-up whatsoever.
Who?
Exactly. Zack Ryder.
Who?
Exactly.
So Rock versus Cena, Andy. The hype for this match, it got me pumped, dude. You saw it, right? They were debating.
Yes, they were debating. They were debating like no other. I was so happy to see this. I could care less. What the sad part is, and our condolences go out to Ric Flair. He had a blood clot in his left leg. But I understand. I've had gone through that. And he was supposed to be on the panel. Booker T had to be there instead. Thank goodness Ric Flair wasn't there, because it would have made him look even worse. Mm-hmm. Because this was a horrible segment. Why bring Ric Flair in for a horrible segment? Don't know. No one cared. No one gave a crap. They did it. First of all, they're on the East Coast right now. They've been touring for the East Coast for a while now. Okay. You don't do it in Philly.
Here's my thing. I understand the entertainment factor, and building up and hyping a match. The crowd was pretty much dead, until The Rock would say one of his, little catchphrases, finally, mm-hmm. Things like that. That's the only time that the crowd even was caring. It was stupid. This did not make any wrestling fan go, oh, man. Cena said that, Rock didn't beat him. Cena beat himself. Well, I got to watch this now. I got to get the pay-per-view for this. Nobody's saying that. Nobody at all. And you can't do exactly what you did last year. And something that we said last year, why not put them in a tag match? How hard is that? How hard is it to put them in a tag match? You have Cena and Punk team up against Rock and Taker. There you go. How hard would that be? Probably not that hard, Not that hard. But no, that's not what they do. Instead, they give us a debate, which was boring, and people fell asleep. And it made me wonder why I was watching this crap. And on top of it, it went 20 minutes over overrun.
Oh, well, no, I think it went more than 20 minutes, because I have mine set for 20 minutes over. I'm sorry, 15 minutes, so it'd be 10:20 Central Standard Time when it would get over with. Well, guess what? I missed some of the debate. I had to actually go back and download the show just so I can watch the last, I think, minute and a half. I was not happy about that. But, yeah. Hey, they decide to overrun that far. I guess they're allowed to, because they're the WWE. But something actually happened, though, very interesting on SmackDown, though. Laurinaitis made his television return.
Why on SmackDown?
I don't know. Maybe because, when SmackDown's taped, maybe you get, catch a little bit of hype. But it didn't. Not many people cared. They're like, oh, yeah, he made his return. Big deal. He's been to house shows already. No one cares. He's just there.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just kind of weird. Let's move on to our sponsor.
Are you a blogger or podcaster? You're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You're going to see some banners from WWE products. There's a ton of them out there. They have DVDs as I don't know what they're priced at. But anyways, they have a bunch of deals up there. Just click on the banner. They'll tell you what code to use. Click on it. and then go to WWEshop.com. Also, check out highspots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Sting and Hogan are having some trust issues. Mm-hmm. What's so big about these trust issues, Aaron?
It all centers around Bully Ray, of course. But I actually like the segment. I'm sure a lot of people didn't. And yeah, these two are old. They're past their prime by, you know, a good 20 years. But I actually enjoyed it, entertainment wise. I thought it was it was enjoyable. I definitely felt the emotion that was put in both of their voices. And it makes me wonder where this will go. The only thing I don't like about it, though, is that this ate up a lot of valuable time on TV where it could have been used elsewhere. And I don't like it if this leads to them being on TV even more. You know, their 10-minute segment, that's a match that you could have had with the X Division to help build some more stars. And I know that they're, you know, having an X Division match next week that's, you know, going to be a qualifying match. But nonetheless, I just feel that this is something that maybe you cut in half. You have them come to the ring. You don't show the entrance on TV. You just have them come to the ring, and they're already there when you get back from commercial break. That way, you don't have to, you know, be like, okay, it's going to be 10 minutes now. They're going to come to the ring. They're going to talk. They're going to get mad. They're going to go back. I don't want to see that every week. So I don't know. Do you feel any different?
That's what's going to happen every week from now on. I can just tell you that right now. And they're setting it up for that. They're wasting lots of valuable TV time. And also, on Thursday's show, it just seemed like there was something not right, if that makes sense. Like, the production value wasn't there, if that makes sense to you. Something was off. The entire show, I noticed it. And I wish I could explain it more than that, but if you rewatch the show, or you watched and you saw the same, hopefully you saw the same thing I did. I just thought that production-wise, it was done really weird. So, but anyways, so the X Division, of course, you know, let's talk about the changes. They're all going to be three-way matches, which I'm just going to flat out say, this is gimmicky, and this will eventually go away. The one not pinned gets to stay, which is the other weird part. So basically, the person who doesn't get pinned, so if he decides that, oh, I'm going to get hurt and lay outside or hide underneath the ring, just as long as he doesn't get pinned, he's still in.
So to give you a little bit of an idea, Kenny King pinned Sanjay Dutt. Zema Ion was on the outside of the ring. The next match that they have will be Kenny King versus Zema Ion versus somebody else. I agree with you wholeheartedly about the three-way thing. You know, they put a weight limit on there. That's fine. You know, that doesn't bother me. You know, for the most part, it was all small guys anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had Samoa Joe in there, but that's a little different. I think that the three-way match thing will go away pretty quickly. I think that they'll forget about it in the same way they'll forget that there's a TV title that's supposed to be defended every single week, which, by the way, still has not been defended in probably a month. But the one thing, though, I do like is that they announce, you know, the three people that are going to be competing next week, and the winner will get put into that three-way match the following week. And one of the people that's in there, Andy, is your boy,
Petey Williams.
Petey Williams.
And Sanjay Dutt and some other guy. Don't know who the other guy is, but no one cares. But Petey Williams is back.
Dude, Petey freaking Williams.
Yep, so we're going to see the Canadian Destroyer?
Oh, I hope so.
You know, the thing is, I love that move at first, but now watching it, it's really gimmicky.
It is gimmicky, but man, it's still fun to see.
Don't get me wrong,
that's what people want to see.
Yeah, I mean, seeing that move, but when you think about it, the guy who is doing the move is doing all the work, and the guy who's taking the bump is going backwards. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. It's basically, yeah, he's just doing the, you know, a simple power driver. And it's actually a little bit safer because of how fast it happens.
Yeah, but you can only do it to small guys. But anyway, so tag titles are going to be on the line in 2 weeks. This is Chavo and Hernandez. They beat Bad Influence. And I actually kind of like this. So they said the winner takes on, you know, the tag team champions, Austin Aries and Robert Roode, at Corpus Christi. And they say this is in 2 weeks. So they're actually going to hype this. And so next week on Impact, they're going to have, you know, probably a singles match or something like that. They're going to have them in the ring, you know, arguing with each other in some capacity. But there's going to be that hype there. That, and I've said this about WWE. I like it when they do this. I hate it when they don't. They hype things up, say, we're going to do this next week. So you have something to look forward to for next week. Otherwise, what's the point in watching next week's show? There really isn't any. Now there is. So kudos to TNA for that.
Yeah, you got to give them credit because they're actually thinking ahead here, but they're only thinking short term, which is kind of the crappy part. But they're almost making some shows almost like a pay-per-view, but not a pay-per-view. Because I thought Hardy versus Anderson was a big thing. They had that on free TV, which was a halfway decent match. By the way, how much of what Ken Anderson was saying was scripted?
I don't know. It seemed like he messed up some of his lines almost.
But so it almost seemed as it was more like instead of acting, it was more hateful. Like he truthfully does not like Jeff Hardy. And I'm going to give you every reason why. And then start saying how he was a screw up. And then because he's the golden child, he gets to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And he kept saying stuff. And to me, it didn't seem like it was he was messing up lines. It's like if someone really hates someone, they will say weird things like that over and over again. I'm wondering if it was more, if there's more to the segment than what meets the eye or whatever.
There might have been. You know, they wrestled on pay-per-view before, and, you know, now they're doing it on free TV. So it was kind of cool. Now, Andy, we didn't talk about this last week, but I definitely wanted to take some time to do so. The montage of Bully Ray. And this is something a couple weeks ago I was actually clamoring for. You know, I said that they need to explain, you know, he was being attacked. And they explained all that and these montages they were doing. Was this a smart idea?
Definitely a smart idea because this explains why the aces and eights are around. I thought they did a good job with the montages. I'm glad that they did it the proper way. So this was actually thought out pretty well. But then I always ask the one question, what is the payoff? You know, what's going to happen? Because I can guarantee you right now, the first person that's going to leave either will be some nobody, which there's a couple of them there, or it'll be Ken Anderson. Not sure which one. Ken Anderson could leave, come back as a big face, but I'm actually completely out in left field. But in all seriousness, the montages were great. The fact that they took the time to think this out, great job. You know, hands down, they were great. But also...
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Andy. I think that it was a smart thing. I want to kind of piggyback off something that we were talking about earlier. All these title matches happening in 2 weeks. Another one, which is, you know, they announced that Bully is taking on Hardy, or I should say actually say Hardy is taking on Bully in 2 weeks in Corpus Christi. Are you excited for this match?
I am excited, but I thought it was interesting that Hardy already had a rematch, but that's what they said. You know, Hogan said that in the show earlier. He goes, hey, by the way, you know, I understand that, yeah, you still have your rematch clause, and it's pretty nice that you're coming up to step up to the plate to face Bully. To me, that says that they're going to be at Slammiversary. It's going to be Hardy versus Bully Ray. That's what I took out of it, because he's going to ask for his rematch then.
Yeah, that I'm actually hoping that that isn't the case. If they're giving this away on free TV, doing 4 pay-per-views a year, which I think is great, you cannot have rematches, I guess you would call them. You cannot have rematches on free from free TV to pay-per-views. You just cannot do that. You can do that if you're doing a pay-per-view every month, but not like this.
Well, so TNA has to, though, dude. In order to bring people, the fans get their butts in the seats, they have to do stuff like this at first. And the fact they went to the 4 pay-per-views, great. That means they're on the road 20, you know, there's 26 live tapings that they have plus their 4 pay-per-views. Great. Better planning, though. That's the thing. I think that this was poorly planned, and it's going to end up being, I'm telling you right now, dude, it's going to be Hardy, Ray, Slammiversary, because there's no other storyline for it.
I disagree. I think what's that the other we'll probably line? See, well, they could see a 3-way or 4-way. We could potentially have a number one contender match after they meet in a couple weeks, because that's going to be in April. Because you got to think of it this way, right? So they take each other on April 11th. That is 8 weeks from the pay-per-view.
3 TNA tapings.
So that's 4 TNA tapings.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is 4. Okay.
Yeah. So that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. So they have to do something then. They have to have another thing in place there. I think that you might see Jeff Hardy maybe take him on in 2 more weeks. And then after that, you know, they'll say, look, we got to get another number one contender. And I think that's when you'll probably see it. I think that you might see somebody like Samoa Joe step up to the plate, maybe even Magnus. You could potentially have Kurt Angle in there too. So there's a lot of other people
involved. Matt Morgan.
Matt Morgan, yeah. I think that you might see a fatal four-way.
I would think for number one contendership, yes. And I think Morgan will be involved.
No. I don't think for a number one contendership. I think for the title. I think at Slammiversary, you'll see Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy taking on, you know, obviously it'll be those two and two other people, fatal four-way match. That's what I think.
Well, I could see that happening, but then Bully Ray has to retain.
No, he doesn't.
Yes,
you
he
could
does.
Potentially, you could potentially have one of the other two people win the title.
No, you'd have to have him retain because then he's a worthless champion.
Nah.
I think so.
I don't get me wrong. He'll probably will retain, but you don't have to have him retain.
He should keep the title until Genesis.
Oh, no. No.
Because of the format that they have for pay-per-views now. I think he should hold it till Genesis.
No. If you want me to buy the pay-per-view, you want me to believe that there's a chance that he could lose the title, and then I'll buy it. If not, then, you know, I'm not going to bother with it.
All right.
But anyway, Andy, let's move on to our weekly topic. We're going to talk a little bit about the WrestleMania 29 hype. And
it's sold out.
Yeah, which is good, right?
Surprisingly, because WrestleManias don't sell out this far in advance. I mean, actually, it sold out 2 weeks. Was it a week or 2 weeks ago? It actually sold out. Which was very surprising because you don't usually hear about sellouts until right before, but it sold out. They opened a little bit more seating, sold those right away. So now it's like, okay, there's going to be some more openings the weekend of when they get all the chairs lined up and they're going to be able to find a seat here, a seat there. They'll bring up some more room. But do you think those will sell out that fast? Because it seems like these tickets went super fast.
Yeah, it does. And it's always good. But the actual hype, though, we know, obviously, Rock and Cena, that was pretty much scripted. You knew the Undertaker was going to be there. You knew Triple H was going to be there. You knew all these big names were going to be, you know, out in full force. So as a wrestling fan, all this hype leading up to it, are you dropping the money to see WrestleMania just for these people? And was the hype good enough?
No, the hype is not good enough. I would not, if I was completely by myself and I had no way of being able to watch the pay-per-view, I would probably go walking around town hoping someone has it on their big screen TV. Because I would refuse to pay, you know, the $70 to watch the show because it's bad. I mean, they have one match that actually I'm really looking forward to. And that's going to be, of course, Taker versus CM Punk. I could care less about the other matches. Cena, The Rock, there's been no build-up to it. I mean, there's been no build-up with CM Punk and Taker to a certain extent. They waited until after Royal Rumble to even say do any type of feuding. What's going on? I mean, I just don't get it, but whatever.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying. There has been some build-up. You know, there's been some build-up with Punk and with Taker. You know, this past week on Raw, Taker took a lot of great shots at Punk, and the crowd was really into it. You could definitely tell that there was a lot of tension between the two. I think actually this might be a bigger question, which we talked about last week. I said we'd talk about this week. Is it okay for these superstars to come out and wrestle once a year? Taker, Triple H, The Rock.
I guess we'll have to wait for the buy rate and see if the buy rate really matters, because I'll tell you the truth, this year I've been hearing more and more of people talking on Facebook saying, hey, do you want to watch, WrestleMania at my place or my place or whatever? And I started thinking about it more and more. I was like, this usually isn't what happens. Usually just people will buy it because it's a kind of a last second thing. I'm wondering if that's what's going to happen this year, where people start talking on Facebook or start talking on Twitter, like, hey, I want to watch WrestleMania. Does anyone have it at their place? You know, I'll throw in money for the pay-per-view. I think that's going to happen more this year than it usually has. I think some people want to watch it, but they don't want to spend the $70. So I bet you the buyers will be down, but I bet you social media will be up.
You know, it's actually kind of weird. I'm not friends with too many wrestling fans, and so or at least vocal ones. You know, most of my friends are not going to let their other friends know that they like wrestling. You know, I barely let people know. But I that does surprise me a little bit. I would say I actually don't think that it is good for certain people to only wrestle once a year. Because if that's the case, if you're saying that some people get to a point in time where they are so much better, they only have to wrestle once a year, well, then Punk and Cena could stop right now. And Jericho is the same way. Jericho could stop. Punk, Cena, stop. And then once Royal Rumble comes around, then they come back. And then you have to pay for the pay-per-view in order to see them. And then at WrestleMania, they'll have a big-time match with some up-and-comer. Why don't they just do that then? You know, make people be like, oh, well, I get to see Cena. I get to see CM Punk. You know, I get to finally see these people wrestle. And instead, it's like you have Undertaker, who's 48 years old, and, you know, he's okay in the ring. You have The Rock, who's an entertainer, first and foremost. And his matches with CM Punk were not that good. His match with Cena last year was mediocre at best. And then you have Triple H, who is arguably the best out of all of them. But he's, you know, the COO of the company. And he – why is he even involved with Brock Lesnar? And anybody who really thinks that he's going to lose, you know, that he's going to retire after this is, you know, they're drinking their own Kool-Aid. You know, there's no chance. And I'm just so dumbfounded by the hype that's built up to this. No one is going to believe that – anyone that knows anything about wrestling – Cena's going to win, Taker's going to win, Triple H is going to win. Boom. Three matches already chosen. I know that you feel differently about Taker, but you know we'll talk about that later. But that's why the hype, in my opinion, has just been so poor for this event. And this is a big one. And last year's WrestleMania was really big too. I don't know how I felt about it last year. I think I was actually very optimistic, and it was pretty good. But this year, I'm not optimistic at all.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree with you. I could care less what happens this year. Even last year, you know, like taking notes, I took notes and then I stopped taking notes because I was into it. And then I was like, oh, crap, I should probably take notes. And then I think I had to ask, I was like a friend of the show, Dave. I was like, hey, what happened here? What happened here? So I was paying attention. And I think Doug felt the same way as well because we watched it with Dave. And I'm thinking that's what the problem was. I think that it was actually decent. We wanted to see it. But then this year, it's kind of like, oh, WrestleMania's happening. Yeah, I don't care about Cena, CM Punk, because we know that Cena's going to win. We pretty much know that Taker's going to win. And we know Triple H is going to win because, one, he's going to win because he lost to Brock already. So now he has to beat him. And that's just one of those things, dude. It's kind of like, don't care. I'm not hyped up at all. I mean, I will say we will hype WrestleMania up as much as we can. But there's a point where you're just like, you know, you can't hype it up anymore.
Yeah, no, and not even just hyping it up, but just being excited for it. And I'm actually more excited for Extreme Rules in May than I am for this. And that's kind of sad because I'm more excited to find out, okay, what are they going to have for this pay-per-view? You know, who will be the champion? Who is going to take on the champion? Who will be the number one contender? You know, that's what I'm actually more excited for. So, you know, we'll see when that happens. You know, make sure you stay tuned for our WrestleMania special next week. Do we know when we're going to put it out?
Yes, let's talk about it real quick. The WrestleMania special that we do, of course, every year, we do the pre-show and the post-show. The pre-show is definitely going to be out Wednesday. I'm trying for Wednesday morning, but if it's not, it'll be done it'll actually be posted onto section86.com by 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's the latest it'll be. I'm going to shoot for 8 a.m. though on Wednesday morning. So then you can listen to it on your commute to work or when you're at the office, depending on what's going on. We got some guests that are coming on. We know of a couple, but you'll just have to stay tuned and listen for it. And of course, that's the post show. The pre-show, of course. Now the post show, we're going to release as soon as we're done. As soon as I get done editing it and posting it, it's going to get released. So most likely Monday morning when you wake up, it's going to be sitting there. Just saying, download me. That's what we're going to be saying. So, and we'll have some guests on also for the post show, the WrestleMania post show. So I love doing these specials. I can't wait for it. And we will try and hype up WrestleMania as much as humanly possible and not try to be a downer about it. So, anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.